Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Hill and our series, When the Vow Breaks. And we are in our last message in this series. We're going to be talking about praying for your marriage, praying for your home. And I'm just excited that all of you are here. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. I've given you verses 1 through 19. We're going to be reading the first three verses for the message, and you can go back and read the rest a little bit later. While you're turning there, let me just remind you, next Sunday morning, of course, is Easter Sunday morning. This is the high holy day on the Christian calendar. It's a day that we celebrate above all others because of Easter. We celebrate Christmas. I mean, this is the big deal. And so we have a bunch of these cards. We hope that and ask that you go by our information desk here in the center of the mall and just grab a bunch of these and give them out this week to people who don't have a church home, people that you want to invite to come and worship with you. It tells you about our times here on the Hill next week and what we're going to be doing. We're going to be starting a series next Sunday morning about the seven most famous words ever spoken. And these words that are spoken from the cross of the Lord Jesus. And they are words of hope and a promise and God's love for us. And so I want to encourage you to come. This is going to be the time to bring a parent, a friend, someone who doesn't know the Lord. It's going to be the series to bring them to. It'll take us through Mother's Day. It'll take us into Memorial Day weekend. And all this is just going to play into what Christ said to us from the cross. It's just incredible when I saw this, just what this passage is going to mean to us in our study. So I encourage you to come. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great ride in God's Word. But I want us to think about this morning. We're talking about praying for your marriage. And maybe you've done that before, maybe at times you felt like maybe you were heard and you saw a response, or maybe you're just like, you know, it's just like nothing happens. Well, I think somebody has well said, if you're going to pray a prayer that God's going to answer. And that's kind of praying that I want to do. I want to pray in such a way that when I bow my head for the Lord, when I'm down on my face before the Lord on the floor, that I have that sense, I know God hears everything, but that I have that sense that God is listening. That He's listening with a view to answering what I'm asking for, and that I'm praying according to His will. And I want to pray all of that with regards to my marriage. You know, Catherine and I have been married 44 years. We have a great relationship with each other. We love each other now more than we ever have. We know more about each other than we did when we first started this journey. We know how to get along with each other so much better, but invariably, I married a woman who is not like me, and she doesn't see everything the way that I see it, and as long as I'm walking in the Spirit, everything is fine, but when I get out of the Spirit, that's when stuff starts happening. When I'm not walking in the Spirit of God, I can operate in my flesh, and she can do the same thing. The reality is not only that in our relationship, but we just have problems that arise in our home. We have challenges. We have two boys, two daughter-in-laws, 12 grandkids. We have not yet begun to experience what's coming in the future, I'm sure. I've got a bunch of souls to watch over as a granddad and as a dad. My children and my grandchildren live in a lost world. We live in a world that's going crazy. Never before in my life have I felt like that my country was headed for destruction. I don't know in all of my life that I've ever been more fearful for my country and our future. And so it is so important because my family lives in this world. And the world affects us. The world comes into my home as much as I try to keep it out. Comes in through media. Comes in through music. Comes in through outside influences. I can't keep the world from touching my grandchildren. I can't keep it from touching my sons, my daughters-in-law. I can't keep it from touching me. I am immersed in a culture that is anti-God. I live in it every day, and so do you. And invariably, my home, your home, comes under pressure. It comes under situations and circumstances that, unless they are dealt with, can pull your family apart. And there are times that I think all of us want to know, how do we pray a prayer for our marriage and for our home that God's going to answer? And maybe you're in a situation right now where you don't know what to do. Maybe you feel like that you're kind of lost, kind of meandering around. Somehow or another, you've lost direction. You've lost your moorings. What used to be an anchor in your life is no longer there. Maybe you feel like your home is drifting. Maybe you feel like you and your spouse are drifting apart. Maybe you feel like you're losing contact with one of your children. Or your children or you are going through situations you've never had before. And you are just needing God to show up. How do you do that? How do you pray a prayer that you know God will listen to? How do you pray a prayer that you know God will answer? And that's what was grappling in my mind. That's what how I want to end this whole series. How do I pray for my marriage? How do I pray for my home? How do I pray for my personal life? How do I pray for my family and know that God is going to answer? Well, I think one of the most revealing insights to prayer is found in Daniel chapter 9. I gave you the first 19 verses, but I only want to read the first three. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus, who became king of the Babylonians. And during the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, was studying the writings of the prophets. And I learned from the word of the Lord, as recorded by Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. He learned that by reading the word, reading the book of Jeremiah. So when he saw that, he said, I turned to the Lord God. And I pleaded with him in prayer, and I fasted, and I wore rough sackcloth and sprinkled myself with ashes just to show God his incredible pain, that he was emotionally involved in what he was praying, which is also very important. Well, I want us to look at this morning. How do I pray a prayer that I know God is going to answer? Well, Daniel has given us some direction, all right? So just listen to this. We've got some fascinating stuff that's going to happen. We've got something going to follow the Lord in baptism in just a few moments. So I want us to get this, and then we're going to do some celebrating. If I want to pray a prayer that God is going to answer, number one, I listen, listen, listen. He said, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord as revealed by Jeremiah the prophet that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. All right, the first thing that he did, here's the truth in your outline. If you got your life point outline, we need to listen to God before we speak to God. That's just what you see in this whole thing. Daniel was first, before he prayed, he was in the word. He was in the Bible that he had. And the fascinating thing is, this is not the only time that this appears in Scripture. There are other times. Let me give you two other passages where this is taught as well. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 27. I am setting before you today a blessing if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God. And then one more. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God. And draw near to listen. Do not be hasty in words. So here's what God is saying. God is saying, if you want to be in the habit of praying prayers that God is going to answer, he said, don't just jump in to praying to me. He said, the habit of your life needs to first of all be that you are in the Word. That before you get into praying, the habit of your life is you are listening to Him. That this is a habit of yours. You listen to the Lord God and you do that. Look at the truth in your outline. You listen to God by reading His Word. It's just very simple. And yet we overlook it so often. It is critical that I listen to Him before I speak to Him. This is what God is looking for. This is what happened with the life of Daniel. And then number two, we learn. We listen first, and then we learn. That's what he says in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1. Here's the insight. To learn means what you read stays in your mind. How many of you enjoy eating out? You like to eat out. Could you raise your hand? Let me see your hand. Just be honest, all right? You love it. Every woman in this place, I think, should have raised their hand. You love doing that, because if you don't, that means you're going to cook. All right? So here's the deal. I enjoy eating out. I enjoy doing that. It's great. I enjoy that. I have a pet peeve. And so if you're in the food industry or you happen to be watching, I love you in Jesus, but just listen. When I go to eat, my primary goal is to enjoy what I'm eating and to enjoy time with my wife or with friends that I happen to be with. If I want to listen to a song, I'll do that in my car. I will do that at my house. When I am sitting in a restaurant, there are so many times I think I need to take up hand signs, you know, and trying to communicate to the person across the table. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the background noise is so incredibly loud. I'm like, I did not come here to listen to your music. I came here to eat your food and to have conversation. Is there any of that that's not clear? And so if you're watching, I love you in the Lord, change. Just seriously, a little background music doesn't have to be somebody screaming at the top of their lungs. You know, a little bit of instrumental going along, that's fine. Aids with digestion. But I leave sometimes needing a Tums because I'm so upset with that. Well, it's good to kind of get that out. All right, here's the thing. My point was, there is so much racket in our world. There's so much noise that if we are not careful, it has the potential of just like absorbing and pulling out of you everything that you get from the Lord when you're in His Word. And so maybe you say, I read the Word, maybe not every day or whatever. That's where the problem is. Because when you're out in the world, all of the racket and the noise is going to pull out of you what God has put into you. You know what that means? It means you're not learning. Because learning means it's staying with you. You're listening and you're learning. Look at the inside in your outline. We promote here at the Hill reading through the Bible every year because it requires reading the Bible every day. And I want to tell you something. There have been some of you, even this past year, this last January, or maybe it was in December, that came to me and said, Brother John, I just feel like I need to kind of get this out. And I didn't know what they were going to confess. And they said, I just want you to know, I didn't read the Bible through this year, and I just feel like I kind of need to get that out to you. And I said, all right. And I said, is this the first time you've ever tried to read through the Bible? It is. It's the first time I've ever done it, and I got about, I'm about halfway through. But I mean, here it is December, and I'm like back in May or June. But you know what we call that? We call that a win. That's a win, because they are further down the road this year than they were last year. Because they weren't even on a consistent reading schedule. But now they're learning to get on a consistent reading schedule to be in the Word. That is a win. Hello. You know, we get points for that. And so that is what we're about. The things that we try to do here on the Hill are to get you to a place to where you can receive the greatest benefit from your walk with the Father. That you just do what pleases Him. Listen to John 15, verse 7. This is our Lord talking. This is Jesus. He says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, there's that learning, you may ask any request you want in prayer, and it will be given you. Listen, the pathway to praying so that I get my prayers answered, Jesus said, is two things. And I give it to you as a point in your outline. Unanswered prayers in your marriage and home may indicate a broken connection or lack of time in His Word. Jesus said, he said, there are two things to get answered prayer. He said, you remain in me. That means you're in relation with him. You walk with him. You're right with God day in and day out. And you are remaining in his word. And so here's what I want to share with you this morning. Maybe you realize, I'm not getting my prayers answered. Sometimes when I pray, I just don't feel like I'm getting through. Well, it's not that God's not listening. God hears everything you say. He hears everything. In fact, I've taken to praying. One of the things I've just started praying is, Lord, I know you're listening. And I want you to say, that is incredibly, it just builds me up inside. Because I know God is listening. It's not like God bends down and, you know, he's going like this. But I know he's listening to me. And I say, Father, I know you're listening to me. And this is what I want to say to you. This is my prayer to you. But here's the thing. If I know there is something in my life that's not supposed to be there because God has revealed it to me and I haven't done anything about it, that means I am not remaining in him. And so when I bow my head before the Lord, it is not that God doesn't hear me, but the first thing God is going to say is, John, you know what you need to be doing. And you're not remaining in me. We're not together. Because you're not doing what I want you to do. And then the other thing is, am I staying in his word? Am I remaining in him through obedience? Am I staying in his word? You remember, in just thinking about Daniel, you remember Daniel's life. Daniel got thrown into a lion's den. Why? Because he wouldn't stop praying. And he was praying because that also means he was in the word. He was reading the word that he had. He was in the habit every day of being in the scripture and talking to God. So here's the insight in your outline. If you want a life of answered prayer, you need a Daniel-type life of never going to bed without time in the Bible and talking to him by prayer. Now, listen, if it's just a minute, and I'm serious, if you haven't been doing that, if you just start taking a minute, but you don't lay your head on the pillow until you have read, if it's a minute, 5 minutes, whatever, in the Word. You're just reading in the Word, and then you talk to him, and you start that journey. That's a win. And that gets you on the road to what God is wanting. And here's a takeaway. When you look at Daniel's life, this is a man who is in a pagan government. And this is a man, through all of his life, God delivered him from one trouble after another. God just took care of this man. He had such wisdom. They came to him seeking wisdom. And he was a believer in a pagan environment. And he every time the government changed, Daniel got promoted. Does anybody not want to live a kind of life like that? I mean, out there, do we not live in more and more of a pagan world here in our country? Well, listen, the best chance of you moving forward to whatever God has for you in this world and in this life is that you are in his word, you're listening, and you're learning because it's a day-to-day habit, and you are talking to the Father through prayer. Because that was a habit of Daniel. And what I'm simply saying is, God's got a plan. And the best way you're going to succeed in that plan is that becomes part of your life. Now look at the next insight. The more we know the Bible, the more prayers we will have answered. And so you just get started. That's why we talk about reading through the Bible every year. Just get started. You know, one of my favorite passages is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your path. Now, I want you to understand something. I don't know. I've been in ministry 44 years. And there are things happening in this world that a lot of times I don't know what the solution is. And every day during the week, when I get out of my truck and I get ready to go into the office, I am, even before that, but especially as I get out of the truck and I am walking up to the door, I am in prayer and I'm just saying, Father, I need your guidance before I go through this door. I have no idea what has already taken place. I have no idea what the phone calls are that I'm going to need to make. I have no idea what the problem is of the people I'm going to be asked to counsel this week. I have no idea of what kind of answer most likely, that I need to give them, but you know. And Father, I'm just confessing to you, I need you. God, I need you to be in my mouth. I need you to give me wisdom. I need you to speak through me. I was sitting down here, and I do it every Sunday morning. Joel Don's up here, and he's leading so graciously and so effortlessly, and I'm fixing to get up, and I'm saying, God, if you don't show up, I'm going to look like an absolute idiot. Lord, I need you to be in my mouth. I need you to work through my mouth. I don't have no idea the problems and the challenges that are out here with you. I put a message together, but I have no idea what God wants me to do with that. If he's going to say, I want you to drop this and I want you to speak to this. I have to trust him in that. Why? Because there is a God in heaven who knows every one of you and he knows exactly what you need. And every Sunday morning, I am depending on him showing up so that when you leave this place, you say, there is a God. Because there is no way that man knows what's going on in my life unless he's got my house bugged. And I love it when that happens. And people come out and they say, I don't know how you knew that. I didn't. God did. And God knows how to minister to you. So that brings you to number three, God's plan in your marriage. What about God's plan in your marriage? Well, Daniel is absolutely torn up. He's torn up because he's thinking, I'm going to die in this foreign land. And I want to go back to my own land. And so the Bible says that he was reading in the Word. And what he was reading was the book of Jeremiah. Now, Daniel and Jeremiah were contemporaries. And when Babylon came in and sacked Israel and sacked Jerusalem, Daniel was taken off as a prisoner of war. Jeremiah was kept there in that broken city of Jerusalem and under a broken nation. But God began to speak to him. And he said, I want you to write what I'm going to give you because I want to teach my people to do what I'm going to teach you. And so he started writing the book of Jeremiah. And the significant thing that he wrote was, he said, those guys that are in Babylon are going to be there 70 years. And they're not going to come home a day before that 70-year passes. But at the end of 70 years, I'm going to begin to draw my people back to Jerusalem. And that's all Daniel needed to know. He thought, there is hope. There is a future. This is going to happen. Let me tell you what he was reading. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. God says this to you. You will be kept in Babylon 70 years, but I will keep my gracious promise to bring you back to your home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans for your disaster. My plans will give you hope and a future. Now, we all know that. We've heard that so many times. For I know the thoughts that I have for you. Thoughts of good and not of evil to give you hope and give you a future. We've quoted Jeremiah 29:11 again and again and again. What we have not quoted is the next part. Listen to the next part. And in those days when you pray, I will listen. Now God has just given us a life principle I had never seen before. I want you to look in your outline. Here's the life principle. God made you and me for a purpose. He has a plan for our lives, for our marriages, but they're not automatic. That's what God just said. And what that means is, I can miss God's plan of blessing for my home. I can miss God's plan of blessing for my kids and for my grandchildren. I can miss it for my relationship with Catherine. I can miss everything that God wants to do. So here's the truth in your outline. God's timing and my praying determines the outcome of our lives and marriages. It isn't just that God has got everything on a timetable, which he does. But God also says it depends upon you asking in prayer, that you commune with me in prayer. God says, I want to enter into a relationship with you. God wants to talk with you about your home. God says, does your home concern you? Do you know why we are emotional people? Because God is emotional. We are made in God's image. And God says, I want to know, do you care about your home? Do you care about your business? Do you care about your children and your grandchildren? Do you care about whatever it is that's on your heart? God says, I need to know that you care. He wants you to speak emotionally to him. Listen to James 4, verse 2. You do not have what you need because you do not ask. There are some good things God wants to do. that will not come if you don't ask. That's why we talk about prayer, that you ask God for it. Look at the next insight. If you are connected to God, like Jesus said, you're walking with Him, obeying Him in what you know to do. You're in His Word every day, asking for His blessing and favor, but nothing has happened yet. Then I want you to rest in knowing that you're just waiting on His timing. Listen, if you're doing these things and it hasn't happened yet, the doors have not opened, you're just waiting on timing. That's all you're waiting on. God says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch over you. You just wait. So that brings us to number four, seek God first. And everything you just put in first. Luke 12:31, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and He will give you everything you need. The most important thing in your life is to seek Him. Don't get all caught up seeking for wealth. Don't get all caught up seeking for pleasure. If you're single, don't get all caught up seeking for a husband or seeking for a wife. Why? God says, I want you to be the man or woman that you should be so that you can find the man or woman that I have for you. Focus on being what He wants you to be. And you do that by putting Him first in your life. Seek Him first. God says, put me number one, and I will do you good. Here's the truth in your outline. God takes care of those who put Him first. He will do it. And look at the next insight in your outline. When we don't ask God for wisdom and guidance and blessing or His permission, God backs off and leaves us to our own devices and error. Maybe this morning, you have come in, and you just came in and you just said, God, I just need you to speak to me. I don't know where you are. I don't know how to make a move forward. I just feel like that I am lost. I don't know what's going on in my family. I don't know what's going on between my wife and myself. I don't know what's happening with our kids. I just feel like I am lost in this. Now, I want you to listen to what God said in Hosea 5. And I'm going to land the plane on this, but I want you to listen to this. Hosea 5:15. I will return to my place on high and wait until they acknowledge their offenses and feel their guilt and seek my face. Then in their troubles and distress, they will earnestly seek me, saying, let us return to the Lord so that He may heal us. And maybe this morning, you are just willing to say to Him, Father, I have wandered away from You. And I put other things in front of You. And God, I just want to repent before You. And I want to acknowledge that I need You. I need You. And God, I'm where I am because of what I've done. I have nobody to blame but myself. And I want to tell you something. When you confess that, when you confess your sin, it opens up the door for God to just begin to bless you. God has no desire to strike you. He has no desire to make your life miserable. God says, all I'm waiting on is for you to acknowledge where you've wandered from me. So I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. Joel's going to come. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to just come forward. And this morning, you're coming and we're going to pray over your home. We're going to pray whether it's over your business. We're going to pray over relationships because you're coming to say, Father, I need You. I need You. And maybe you don't know what the way out is for your home. Maybe you don't know what the next step needs to be. But God does. And all that is needed is for you to draw near to Him. And He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. If you call out to Him, He will come. He will come. If you want Him in your marriage, you want Him in your home, you want Him in your relationship with your children, grandchildren, in your business, I want to invite you to come. Lord, we need You. We want You. Let's stand together. If that's your heart, I want you to come. Just stand across the front. We're going to pray together while Joel sings a little bit for us. You come. We want Him. And then we're going to have the baptism.